News Talk Radio 1100. It's Chatterbox, where you'll find the latest news, interviews, and updates about the gaming world. The views and opinions expressed are those of the host, the guests, and the callers only, and not necessarily those of KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. And now, here's your hosts for Chatterbox.
Welcome to the Chatterbox Video Game Radio Show here on KFNX News Talk Radio 1100 in Phoenix, Arizona. My name's Alon, and with me here is my wonderful co-host, Ara.
What a creep.
Hey, what's going on, Alon?
And behind the glass over there is Andrew running the wonderful sound effect.
Yes!
We don't have any giant, like, 2001 sound effects for you? No? We need to get a good a sound effect to intro you, Andrew, so that you can feel good about yourself. Anyway, like I said, my name's Alon. And here with me is Ara. We're going to run a wonderful show about video games today. We do this every week at 10 p.m. live here on the West Coast time. Well, we're not really on the West Coast, but...
We switch around.
We're Pacific right now.
Can't make up our minds.
Yeah. And that's why the time actually changes throughout the year. So when you change your clocks next, well, the show will be on at some different time, like 9. Anyway, moving on towards actual game discussion. We got a whole bunch of stuff to talk about. Several weeks ago, I think while Ara was gone... There was a discussion, someone wrote an article online about comfort games, and I thought I might touch on that a bit. In addition, I also went to something this week that some of you may have heard of, or may not. EB Games and GameStop, which are really just GameStop at this point, they had a special GameStop-only preview of Gears of War, which was hyped up to the extent that a friend of mine called and said, Alon, where is it? None of the stores around here are doing it. Where can I find this thing? He thought, you know, I would be the source of information for the Gears of War party, so to speak, that was happening at EB and GameStops across the country. So he's actually well connected with the stores because he goes there all the time and buys games every other day. And so he calls me asking where it is. I'm like, dude, I didn't even hear about this thing. But he'd gotten an email about some special party during the closing of the stores. They're going to close it early, I guess, and show off a video. And so I looked it up real quick. I was in slow traffic anyway, so I break out the old BlackBerry and I'm searching on joystick, and it says something about it. And they talk about how lame it is, but whatever, I figure maybe I'll go, right? And he finds out which store it's at, because a lot of stores didn't have it that they were, you know, they were supposed to. And
so
I guess
did they actually close the stores for this?
Supposedly they were going to close the stores early, and he thought that they were going to give away demos of the game on disc. And then I wrote on joystick, no demos, just like lanyards and keychains and whatever. And so they were whining that there's no t-shirts or anything. Plus, they already had the video online. And so I thought, well, that's pretty dumb because I can watch the video here and I don't have to go to a store. And he found out that the store is really far away, like on the west side of town, which, well, when you're not on the west side, is far away.
But not too far for Alon.
Not too far for me, because although I wasn't planning on going, I was going to hang out with a friend, well, actually several friends that night, and we were all meeting at the house of one of these people, right? And turns out that house is literally, like, down the road, two minutes from the one EB Games or GameStop store that was actually having this thing in town, which, by the way, wasn't one of the big ones. Wasn't in a mall or anything. It was a little tiny one out in the podunk. But anyway, so I figured, well...
That's where the Gears of War demographic
exactly.
is.
Exactly. I figure if I'm going to be there anyway, at exactly the same time that the store is supposed to close and have this video, okay, fine, I'll go and see what it's all about. And so I do that, wondering this whole time, okay, what sort of hype machine is running? Is this game... You know, really, I'm imagining this game is going to be one of those where everybody buys it at launch because of all the hype. They're going to love it for the first 10 minutes. They're going to like it for the next 3 hours. They're going to push through it for the next 6 hours, and then they're going to sell it back, and you'll have about 50 used copies in the first week that I'll sell for just $5 less than the brand new version, but with the bonus of scratches and such. And so I go to this place. I'm the one and only person who shows up, aside from one guy who's like friends with the manager. Right.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and they don't know me or that I do a show or anything. I just go in there and I want to.
Did you get a lanyard at least?
I didn't even have lanyards, dude. I was thinking, at least a lanyard I could give it to friends or use it for work or something. No. He gave me a poster, though. I didn't even open it. I was just like, wow, I'll give this to John, because he couldn't make it. But
so basically, you were the only guy who showed up.
Yeah, aside from the friend of that manager, who was there, or a friend of one of the workers there, I was the only person who showed up.
So that guy doesn't count, right? Because he was like, hey, no one's going to show up. Come on, you know, keep
something
company.
Like that. But what's worse is, like, first of all, supposedly this big hype thing, everybody show up, it's going to be crazy. I was picturing it'd be like the line for the PS3 that morning when they did pre-orders.
Yeah.
But no, it was just me. And then they have this little 13-inch TV that's sitting up like 15 feet high in a store that's only 16 feet high. So I got to, you know, creak my neck up, stare at this little video while the worker of the store is spouting obscenities every sentence he speaks, just because I guess that's how he rolls. When I managed that company, I wasn't supposed to represent it with obscenity all the time.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we watched the video, and it's like 10 minutes, 15 minutes long of just gameplay footage. Like Cliffy B comes on and says, "Guys, I hope you enjoy this. We've prepared this special footage for you guys. Never before seen footage of Gears of War."
Why can't they just play that like while the store's open like normally, so maybe more people can see it?
Because it's mature footage. And so they were supposed to check ID at the door, but I mean, we were clearly old enough to watch it, so he didn't check the ID. But like, there's a whole list of things you have to do when the people come to see it, right? And one of the things was you're supposed to check the ID and all that.
Well, I guess since like Epic has like probably more money than God now, like I guess they could probably just like, you know, do stuff like that.
See, and I remember the roots of Epic with like shareware, one-on-one fighters downloaded over CompuServe. Do you remember those days?
Not at all.
Okay. Anyway, so I'm watching this Gears of War video. Cliffy B comes on, talks about how exclusive the footage is, and it's just somebody going through the one-player game, you know, for 10 minutes or so. And then it ends.
Was it everything you had hoped it would be?
It proved to me that the game is going to be exactly what I thought. It's going to be the sort of game that people love at first, and it you know, slows down very quickly, and at least the hype about it. And then they turn it in because they get sick of it real fast. That's exactly what's going to happen. It's just a graphical tech demo with some, you know, cool gunplay, and then you're done with it. It's going to be good. I mean, people are going to enjoy it for their short time. It's just not one of those games that you're going to play like this Gaia 2 or whatever.
You better hope Cliffy B's not listening to this show.
He feels the same way, I guarantee it. Anyway, this whole idea of the way that the hype is going these days and the marketing of these games, if you're going to do it, like some places do it right. Microsoft, they know how to do some things. They did Halo 2, and they, like, for Gears of War, they were renting out entire, like, movie theaters and stuff with the Chainsaw Massacre, and even though...
Gears of War?
Yeah. They at the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the new movie, the premiere or whatever, they had rented out the theater, worked together with that company or whatever to show Gears of War, one person playing in the theater, or maybe just video footage. I don't know. But, like, that sounds sort of neat. I wasn't there, so maybe it sounds more cool than it really was. But I'm just upset at, like, the level of hype that's they're able to pull off for a lot of these things, and then how it just gets so destroyed. Like, GameStop did a miserable job. Maybe it was just this one location, but supposedly the locations were supposed to do it, and then every store my friend called up, he's like, "Yeah, we didn't get the disc. Sorry." So that's screw up number one.
Wow.
Right? They didn't get it. Plus, anyway, I feel bad for anyone else who went through it. If you had a good experience there, let us know, but I really doubt it, because, I mean, it wasn't bad. It was just like, why waste my time? Why be subjected to this hype about something, which is really nothing? And luckily, I knew better ahead of time, so my expectations weren't dashed or anything. But it's interesting nonetheless to point out at all the schemes that companies pull off these days. And I'm curious if at any stores it actually affected people and got them to get a pre-order. I actually imagine in some places it may have canceled pre-orders, but who knows? Anyway, that was my experience this week.
Yeah, that's actually, it's really interesting that you bring this up, because I think that kind of leads quite nicely into the topic that we were supposed to talk about that we've been putting off for a couple
weeks. Yeah, last week we really didn't talk about much about pre-orders. We sort of touched on it, but we want to cover that next segment, talk about pre-orders and the whole, I don't know if
that's
I want to call
like,
it a scam.
That's a scheme of schemes.
So like, now I'm coming out of retail. I used to manage stores. I used to push those pre-orders like anybody else, because it was my job.
Actually, that's cool, because you'll have a nice viewpoint.
I'll have the opposing viewpoint. Now, but you as a developer must really love the pre-orders. So I don't know what your beef is with them, except as a gamer like me, don't like feeling duped into the system.
No. I'm the I'm like the Yeah, I don't like him.
Okay. Well, we'll talk about that. If you want to give us your take on it, too, you can always give us a call.
I'm trying to search for a word that's, like, not a curse word right now. And
all right. Well,
that's bad to do.
Good.
The
keep it on the inside. We have some people listening live. If you want to listen live as well, you can always go to chatterboxgameshow.com and check out the live chat button. You'll go into a little chat with the people we got listening live. And of course, there's also a forum on the page. It's chatterboxgameshow.com. And if you want to call in live, it's 866-536-1100. And we'd love to hear from you. If you went to that amazing Gears of War party, you let me know. I'm also curious if they really closed early, because it was 9 o'clock, And the stores that are outside of the malls usually close at 9 anyway. So, I don't know.
Or in Arizona at 8:45, apparently.
Is that what happened? Did that happen? Yeah.
Well, there's just... Let me tell you the number of times when I've, like, gone somewhere, like, 15 minutes before they're closing, and the guy in there's just like, nope, I'm closing up right now. I want to go home.
Yeah, if you called this district manager, he would be so fired.
Really pissed me off.
Oh, yeah. No, that's... You're not even supposed to close down one register.
You guys need to get back to work. Don't slack off with this going home over.
Can't really blame them when you pay the people $7.50 an hour.
Yeah. You know what? I'm voting against the minimum wage increase too.
Really?
Yeah.
That's good. Keep the man down.
That's right.
Not the man.
That's
what I'm. Keep the peasants
down.
The
little man, exactly.
All right. Well, that's always good for the economy. All right. We're going to be back after the break. We're going to talk about pre-orders. I still want to talk about comfort games, which is something I've been putting off for a little bit. Not because I thought it was as amazing a topic as everybody seemed to think it was on the internet, but I think there's some value in there to talk about. So we'll cover that. And then apparently you want to talk about Xbox Live a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
All right. We'll be back. Stay tuned, everybody.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Chatterbox Video Game Radio. My name's Ara.
I'm Alon
there. And what the hell is that sound effect, Andrew? Yeah, what is this, like, gunfight at the OK Corral or something?
It's Gunsmoke, dude. It's Capcom. Not really. All right,
well,
anyway.
That's very exciting.
Before we move on, I want to make sure you all caught that commercial we had. For those podcast listeners, you didn't get the commercial because we cut it. But it's for UAT, the University of Advancing Technology. Make sure you take a look at uat.edu if you're interested in getting into the industry by going to school for it, because that's what they do over at UAT.
Right on. So this segment, I want to talk about pre-orders. And I know you have a lot to say about it, too.
I just have a lot of contempt.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily have a lot to say. I mean, everybody... Some people are really like, well, what's the big deal? Get it, and you make sure you get your game and stuff. Like, okay. No, I understand that. Like, it really, if you look at it, it's beneficial for everybody.
Yeah. Actually, before we get too far into this, though, why don't we take that call that's been on hold for a little bit?
Okay. You want me to do that?
Yeah.
It's good to introduce a subject and then immediately cut away from it. We're going to get... We're going to take Mark from San Diego, I guess. If Andrew can get the phones working. No? All right, Mark.
Hello?
You are on the air, buddy.
Hello?
Hey, what's up, Mark?
I don't think it dropped.
All right, well,
this
Andrew,
is fantastic radio.
Andrew, if he can't hear us, we're going to move on.
So quiet. They hung up on you, probably.
All right, I think we should hang up.
I'm saying, do you think it would have...
All right, I hung up on it.
Okay, well, that was
no,
wonderful.
I hung up on him because I don't want to deal with that. We got a show to do. So, not that I blame Mark. Sorry. I blame our systems. So anyway... We got pre-orders, and I was saying that I've got contempt for them, but really, when you think about it, if I pre-order, it means I'm probably going to get the game, right, unless I get completely screwed. That helps get more games into the stores. It helps the developers know that they're selling games. It really helps everybody. And so I don't really see the bad point realistically, but I still feel like I'm being swindled by the companies, locking in my money, and I just don't like that cheesy pitch they do every time you've got to buy it. And I used to be the pitch guy.
Yeah, so would you have to tell, like, every person? Like, did the manager or whatever, like, were you, like, forced to do this as part of your job? Like, you know, okay, you got to push these pre-orders, you know?
Well, like, they didn't say... Well, they usually didn't say, you're going to get fired. I mean, I was the manager laying down the laws, right?
Yeah.
But...
So you were the man.
Yeah, basically the guy said, you know, or the boss says to us managers, all right, you need to... make sure that everybody's pushing pre-orders and rank them and, like, in the back room put up a board that says, all right, this person got this many and this person got this many and this person got this many. You know, keep everybody aware of pre-orders and let them know that if they're not, you know, getting so many that they're risking their job.
Did you guys get, like, a commission or something if you got a lot of pre-orders?
No.
No? What about cleaners?
Well, Funko Land back in the day when they pushed cleaners would make commissions on it. And... there were certain things like managers at some points would make commissions off of disc doctors,
All right. I just wanted to make that one joke.
Anyway.
Let's get back on.
The pre-orders, yeah, there's no commission, but there is. They definitely push for quota reasons. And they also, I mean, they push used games a lot more, but the pre-orders are a major metric,
yeah.
A measurement scheme to make sure that the people are doing their job and selling and stuff. And honestly, when you're paying people $6.50 or $7 an hour, you need to stop expecting so much salesmanship out of them and just hope that they aren't stealing your stuff.
Well, that's a very good point. Yeah. I mean, let me, you know, I have a lot to say about this. Let me preface all of it first by saying, look, if you want to do pre-orders, I mean, if you just love that, then, you know, fine, you know, do whatever you want. But, you know, the thing that you mentioned about, like, you know, yeah, it's really, really annoying. I mean, okay, first of all, you know, by pre-ordering something, you're basically saying, you know, I'm going to buy this product sight unseen, which now I have a really big problem with. Like, before I didn't, but, I mean,
before
I just think
what?
It's... Before, like, I had bought about, like, hundreds of games that I thought were going to be decent and turned out to be crap and, you know, not being able to return them. I mean, there's only so many times you get slapped in the face before you're like, okay, you know, I'm going to avoid being slapped in the face now.
Yeah. Well, how do you deal with it now? Because I know you don't rent games.
Right. Well, no, I actually do rent games every once in a while, right? But, I mean, you know, the thing that sucks really is that, you know, you can't actually try the game. You can't return the game, right?
Yeah.
You know?
Not anymore.
So that's bad, right? But, you know, there's still a lot of other things you can do. I mean, you can rent the game. You know, you can...
download,
you know,
demos.
There's demos. There's, you know, you can, you know, some of your friends have the game. And I've just had enough. You know what? I'm not going to buy a game sight unseen anymore. And there's also something that's just ridiculously kind of like fanboyish and passive about the activity of pre-ordering that I don't like. It's basically like I feel like I'm getting walked all over. It's just like, it's like the kind of person who pre-orders, it's like you're basically saying, you know what? It doesn't matter what kind of crap you make. If it has this name on it that I like, I'm going to buy it.
Well,
and
I would
think that's being a bad consumer.
If there's a game that I really want that I actually think I would have a hard time getting, then I wouldn't be so opposed to pre-ordering only because I would feel forced. But I'll give you a great example. Coming up very, very soon is the sequel to, like, my favorite game of the past year.
What's that?
Guitar Hero 2.
Right, okay.
Comes out in 2 weeks. All right, like 2 weeks from tomorrow or something.
Did you pre-order it?
I did not pre-order it.
Yeah. Why don't you pre-order it? You might not get it.
I have a personal resistance against it. Now, if I wanted to get it from EB Games or GameStop, then yes, I would have to pre-order it because they only get so money. But I guarantee that the first night it's out, I can go into Fry's Electronics, and not all of our listeners are lucky enough to have a Fry's Electronics near them, but I can just waltz into Fry's Electronics, and I'm sure they'll have a stack up to the ceiling of that game. Unfortunately, probably won't have it just the disc only, and I already have two guitars. So I'm kind of bummed with the idea of I'm probably going to have to buy another guitar, which is, seems just wasteful to me. But I'll be able to walk in and buy it day one. Just like when I did pre-order. I'll tell you this. The last game I pre-ordered was Beatmania.
Okay.
Because I thought it would be hard to get. And so I called them up the day it was out. And like, no, we can't find it. No, it's sold or whatever. Like, we don't have your copy. And I was like, what? I effing pre-ordered this
game.
That's
the other thing. I mean, you know, how many times does that happen?
Yeah, I don't know. But it happened to me, and I was pissed off. So I called them. They said, well, let me look for it, right? I can't find it. All right, cool. So call me back. And they didn't call me back. And so I called them back, and they're like, yeah, we didn't find it. Sorry. You know, maybe it'll come in tomorrow. So I go to Fry's Electronics. I find the game. And then they call me. They're like, oh, we found it. I go, oh, you found it. Great.
They probably, like, made their employee who took five of them home bring some back or something.
No, it was just, like, on a shelf, and they didn't see it. All right? And you know what? That happened to me, like, once while I was working the stores, too. So I can sort of understand, but I have a feeling this happens more than once. And but I was already in Fry's Electronics when they called me. And then I found the copy there, and it was cheaper. And I was like, all right, you guys price match? I'm like, well, and, like, what the hell? They used to price match at, like, a drop of a hat, and now they wouldn't price match it.
Yeah.
So I'm like, but they have it here for less, like down the road. Literally, we're talking the difference between 48th Street and 24th Street, right? And they wouldn't do it. So it's like, all right, well, I'll buy it there. I want to buy it from you guys, but I'll buy it here, and then you can give me my money back. And that's what I did. So screw you guys. I'm going home. And that's what I'm going to do for Guitar Hero 2. I'm going to go down to Fry's Electronics. I'm going to buy it from the people who don't force me to buy it.
Yeah.
And I'm going to leave. I've lost so much respect for GameStop and EB Games
Yeah. Here's the thing that I really don't like about this whole thing is that they're creating, you know, this you know, drama and hype of scarcity. You know, they're basically, you know, they're using like this used car salesman tactic of, oh, if you don't pre-order it, you know, you might not be able to get it when you want to.
That's the stuff I hate.
And
I would never tell that to people. I never gave them fear. That's
right,
terrorism.
It's this fear that they instill in you. And, yeah, I've got a whole rant coming up about this.
It's terrorism, man.
But
instilling fear in people, getting them to act upon fear. And that is un-American. That's terrorist.
I'm with you, man.
Yeah, pre-order equals terrorist. As we need to bomb GameStops. If you're not with us, you're against us. Everybody, I call a jihad on EB Games and GameStop.
Wait a minute.
Go bomb your local GameStop and EB Games. We'll be back after the break.
Hey, it's me, Mario. You're listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. It's number one.
Let me tell you about what happens when you pre-order a game, right? Every single time, every single pre-order, right, that these publishers and these game stores get, you're sending a message to them. And you're saying that, you know, the concept of this game is more important than the actual gameplay experience. You're saying that I'm going to buy this sight unseen just because it's got, like, some name like Zelda 34 on it or something like that. And that makes you a bad consumer because basically you're telling the game industry that you're buying into this concept and that's more important than the actual gameplay experience. And you're basically encouraging the industry to put concept over the actual gameplay experience. And no wonder so many games that come out are crappy like this, right? Because this whole culture is kind of like just revolving, feeding on itself about, like, you know, it's not about the actual game anymore. It's about this kind of, you know, this ethereal idea of, you know, what this game might be like.
So it's like the hype. Like
it
I was
is
saying.
The hype.
And, you know, that's what that thing is.
And you're
that...
buying into the hype. And don't flip and buy into the hype, man.
The great white hype. No, that's what this thing at GameStop was all about. Like, the manager guy, tattoo and all, was like... he had this predetermined script about how, like, some of the footage I was going to see wasn't straight from the game, and so I to protect them from liability or whatever if I claimed that the footage was in game and it was really a movie or something.
I'd like to see that lawsuit. That would be fun.
Yeah, and they wanted to get me, you know, to pre-order the game, and I was like, dude, I don't even have a 360, and my friend already pre-bought it, so screw that. I mean, I know you're going to have 50 used copies in the first week anyway, so I was like, no. But that was the whole scheme. It was to get the people into the store, looking at how awesome the game is, get them excited, and do an impulse pre-buy. And I'm with you. I don't like the concept of pre-purchasing. Yeah. I don't want to put money down for something I can't see and hold, especially after all this convoluted, okay, we're not going to have it in time, and now you're going to sit in line for an hour to pre-order it.
Yeah, maybe you won't.
Yeah.
You know?
Back in the day, you knew you were going to get it.
Here's the last thing I'm going to say about this, right? I mean, as consumers, right, in the aggregate, you know, we have so much power to control where the industry goes, right? But, you know, on the microscopic scale, right, you have, you know, you don't have many, many different ways you can exert this control. You know, you exert it by basically how you buy games. And, you know, your choices on how you buy your games are going to dictate in the long run where this industry...
Oh, I can't take it anymore!
Exactly! I'm glad Andrew's with me on this, too.
Andrew's getting upset about callers.
Who's this punk who keeps calling and telling him to wait on the effing line and quit hanging up? I've had enough!
It's important.
Tell him to stick on his stupid phone and to quit hanging up and quit issuing demands. I'm sick of dealing with him.
So we should answer the phone?
I don't even know which line he's on anymore.
Good thing we've got call screeners.
Effing moron.
All right. You completely stole my spot, but that was funny. That's fun.
All right. I guess we're going to take a caller.
All right, pick a line.
By request of Andrew. Here's line one. Let's see what happens.
Line one, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Jeff from Carlsbad.
Hey, what's going on, Jeff?
All right, can you get a little bit closer to your phone because we can't really hear you?
Yeah, can you, like, turn off the speaker phone so it doesn't sound like you're in space?
Oh,
Oh, tell me they dropped. We are officially not taking any callers the rest of the show. Can you fix the phone equipment, Andrew? Can you get Jeff in here to fix it?
You guys hear me?
I can now.
Okay.
Hey!
All right, I just wanted to talk a little bit about Super Mario Brothers 1 and Level 3, where you get to the turtles. That
Infinite Lives?
There's no turtles in Level 3, man.
Yeah, there are. You're talking about Infinite Lives?
Super Mario Brothers 1.
Yeah. And when you get the turtle.
Yeah, the extra lives that you get on the steps.
Yeah. What did you want to talk about?
After you die, you've got like a block of ice and like a cape or maybe like a towel or something like that. How many lives exactly is that?
A cape? What are you talking about?
All right. So I know what you're talking about, how you can get infinite lives in stage 3-3, I think. I
something
can't remember.
Like that.
3-5?
No, there's no 3-5.
Yeah, there's a
3-5.
4 in each? Yeah, it's 4 in each world.
4 in each, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about the cape, though. You're just trying to screw with me?
No.
Yeah. Are
really
we, like, clowns
sure
here to amuse you?
No, hang on. I can't hear Amara. Say that again?
I wasn't sure if it was a cape or a towel.
Yeah, I have no idea, dude. But are you saying that it represents a certain number of lives?
Right.
Right, now.
Wait,
I mean,
what do you guys,
if you're smoking pot.
I think it lets you get
time.
Up to 99 lives, if I remember correctly. And that's about as high as you can go in Mario 1. Super Mario Brothers 1.
You know what? It's.
I think you can get up to 99.
I don't really care, honestly.
Yeah, I think it's not important. But yeah, that's a good, you know, revival of old school. I can appreciate that.
So there's no real way to determine.
Why did you cut him off, Andrew?
Oh!
Wow. Andrew admits defeat on this one.
How dare he?
All right. Yeah, sorry about that. I don't know what you were talking about with the cape, though. Anyway, let's get back on topic here. People take us off topic so easily. What?
My God. Oh, my God. All those service members and there's only two?
No, cut him off. He's going to start swearing off. Oh, my God. You're turning this into the worst episode ever, Andrew. That, what you just heard for a second, folks, was a caller that he calls in here every Monday night. And starts whining about one of the other hosts on this radio station and starts swearing up a storm about political stuff. And apparently...
It's good times, but not for this show.
Yeah, we're a video game show. All right, so, wow, how are we going to steer this back into the...
All right, so, hey, you know what?
I don't want to talk about pre-orders anymore.
You ever played, Xbox Live with the headset?
I have. In fact, I was playing it right before we started the show today.
Yeah, you know... There's something really interesting about that, you know, I have to talk to you about. And the funny thing is, like, you know, I've tried using it a couple times, and, you know, I used to play PGR3, Project Gotham Racing 3 a lot, you know, online on the 360. And you know, there's so much voice chatter, the people who use this, that it's like, I don't play with it anymore, right? I mean, you've got, like... this annoying guy who's just, like, whistling or humming, like, the whole time, you know, while you're trying to race. There's,
you know, you
like,
can silence people, right?
Yeah, well, the thing is, I just turned the whole thing off because, you know, it's like, it doesn't do anything. There's no real communication there. There's the other guy who's, like, yapping in some foreign language. Or someone else is, like, trash-talking you. You know, there's some kid that's, like, trying to, like, get his mom to make a milkshake or something. It's like... You know,
that was a good audio clip, by the way, the milkshake one.
There's all this noise, you know, and I'm like, you know, what is the point of this, you know? It's like one of these things that conceptually, right, like everyone thought was a great idea, and then once they put it into practice, it just completely fell into chaos.
Well, if you're playing with your friends, then it's good, but when you're playing with other people, it's lame. Like today I was playing Hold'em, like I do before every show.
Right.
Get on Johnny's Xbox 360, and I play some Texas Hold'em, and what I think is interesting is that you've got an 8-person game going, and there's only like 2 or 3 people actually using their mic. And so one of the guys, he refers to me and certain type of sexual affairs I have with mothers.
Right? Nice.
He's calling me names.
Nice.
And I respond. I you know, sent. Yeah. You can go in there and avoid this player. And what I actually meant to do was like give him negative feedback.
Right.
For public, you know, consumption. But really, it was just avoid this guy in the future.
Right.
But then. He said something about me and having sex with mothers, and I said something back to the effect of mothers and his mother or something.
His mom so sucks.
But you know me, like in a calm lawyer type way, and he gets like all offended as if I'm, and he refers to me as trash talking. And I'm like, what? You're telling me I'm trash talking? Because that's entertaining to me. So anyway, the game goes on, and my friend John is like, dude, you don't have that much money. You're only going to get like third place. And so that spurs me on, and I end up getting first place, but he's the guy, he gets second, right? So I'm up against him. We're one-on-one. I take him out in one hand, and I was like, oh, so how's your mom? And he gets all mad at me. Just that one line just sets him off, and he just goes for like this two-minute tirade about, you know, me and negative things relating to me. And I just thought, that's great, because I didn't start trash talking. He started the whole thing, but it's really easy to set this guy off. And that's what it's about. I try to keep things civil, but as soon as they...
Yeah, so is there... I mean, I can see, you know, if not only just if you're with friends, but even more narrowly construed than that, like if you're playing with, you know, people where you've kind of like agreed on like a protocol for communication in some ways, like then I think it can work. But the other thing about, you know, the voice over the Xbox Live is that there's, you know, you don't get like any kind of social cues at all. So you can hardly tell. Most of the time you can't even tell who's talking, right?
That's true.
You can't even, I mean, especially when you're playing the game, you just hear like this voice out of thin air, you know, and, you know, if they got like the robot voice and all these other, you know, crazy voice masks or whatever. And it's, I mean, it's like you can't connect anything to anything else, right? It's kind of like this half-baked implementation, I guess. Even if it could even work, you know, in the end, which, you know, I question if it would.
Listen, I'm all for the voice chat and the video chat and everything, but it's become clear to the entire video game, you know, user base that it's a bad thing when anonymous. But when you're playing with your friends and you know who, you know, Storm Shadow X is, and when you know who Snabbles is and stuff, like,
right.
Those are my friends, then it means a lot more. And so, you know, you can punch your friend in the face the next day when you see him if he says something about your mom. And not that I recommend it.
There you go.
And so it's a lot different when you're playing with your friends. When you're playing with anonymous people, you know, just take your headset off and pretend you're playing with a bot or something.
I'd actually be really curious to find out if anyone, you know, actually uses the voice chat on a regular basis with, you know, people that they don't know.
It all depends. I mean, basically you give everybody a fair shot. And when I'm playing Hold'em, I think that what separates the Texas Hold'em on the Xbox Live versus just playing cheesy versions on the internet or more cheesy versions on the internet is that interaction. The chat is okay, but I prefer the voice chat. The problem is you end up with those losers half the time. And right. It really is. It's a toss-up.
More than half the time. Actually, you know what's really interesting? I think that it's very much a cultural thing, you know, because I remember when I used to play Phantasy Star Online, you know, the Japanese people who would play, right? Like, there was just so much etiquette that they practiced, right? They wanted to help people, right? On the American servers, right? You just have, like, everyone just wanted to screw around and screw with you, you know? And this is just like...
What a metaphor for life and why everyone hates us.
And the American way.
Yeah. We'll be back after the break, everybody. Chin up.
Chatterbox.
Like me now.
Hey, what's new?
Want to play shirts and skin?
Just look down. Don't make eye
I'm
contact.
I'm a star, baby.
What do you think?
And I like presents. You're in luck, baby. I really like your present. I'm hot. You're hot. Let's make out.
Come on, then.
I'm such a player.
Why'd she leave me? Why? Come on, baby.
I'm a totally awesome kisser, right?
Why do I get so nervous around boys?
Just you and me.
Hi, it's me, Sheldon. Why would Mr. Hattrick call me a twerp?
This is just like one of those romance movies.
Here, I'll show you.
Everybody, and that is our favorite new homosexual erotica, Bully, care of Take-Two and Rockstar. We appreciate the efforts that they provide for the gay community in gaming.
Didn't that game get a 10 out of 10 on GameSpot?
I think GameSpot did give it a 10 out of 10. Wow. I, I just saw the, well, you told me about the 10 out of 10. I haven't even gone to read the review yet. Yeah. But
obviously, it must be a perfect game.
It must be. Well, listen, they're including all walks of life in that game, so there's no reason not to give it a full 10 out of 10. I haven't even played it yet, so I don't know. But apparently, you know, it had no problem getting released. It's got a teen rating, but now Take-Two is trying to get Jacko in contempt of court. They're trying to force contempt on him for basically making so many claims about Bully.
Jacko, like, everyone's favorite lawyer.
Yeah. Like, this guy's nuts, and we just need to find this guy in contempt. And I hope to hell that they actually find him in contempt.
Yeah,
it won't happen.
He's crazy.
Yeah, it's not going to happen at all, but it's so funny. Like, head over to GamePolitics.com, and you can see the letter he writes about how they better not do this, and they're bringing a whole, you know, heap full of hell on themselves if this does go down, and any judge that even tries to consider this motion is going to be listed as one of the defendants in his countersuit. And it's just so funny, dude. Like, the litigation doesn't end. I can't imagine how much money has been spent by Florida taxpayers on this nut job.
He's probably going to be suing us now.
Yeah. Oh no, I'm all for it, dude. Whatever. Lawsuit. That's publicity, man.
Bring it on, Jack.
Yeah, I could use another lawsuit. All right. So, there's so much we wanted to talk about that we didn't get to. We go on these rants, and then Andrew refuses to take more phone calls. Do you have a clip that you want to play, Andrew?
A listener made a submission based on one of our more liberal-minded listeners, based on Ara's past comments this show.
Okay.
Can we play the listener's clip?
Sure, if you want to play it.
Right on. So, nice. This segment, I want to talk about pre-orders, and I know you have a lot to say about it, too.
He's voted 13 times against raising the minimum wage, 14 times to cut Medicare. He's voted for trade deals like CAFTA that send jobs overseas. He's the leader for privatizing Social Security. A 98% voting record with George Bush. So what's behind all the talk?
We can't afford much more of Eric.
I'm Bob Casey, and I approve this message.
You see, now, if you go to UAT, University of Advancing Technology, you can learn how to edit together clips like that, because they have classes like that.
That's brilliant.
Yeah. Anyway.
I'm so touched. My heart just...
Really, that was just warm. Andrew, I think, sitting at the booth, but he claims it's from a listener.
Technically, he is a listener.
Yeah.
Although probably against his own will.
I can appreciate that, too. All right, so one thing I said I wanted to talk about was comfort games, and we only have a few minutes, so this is good to cover.
What the hell is a comfort game?
Yeah, did you not read this article? It was all, like, everybody was covering it.
No, I live in the cave. I don't read.
All right, some guy wrote an article. I didn't even bother to read it because it just, I didn't think it was worth all the press it was getting. It's something about comfort games and, like, think back to your good old days. Let's give you the scenario of the desert island, right? Like, what five games would you want to have with you, right? What
are those automatically comfort games now?
Well, no, and that's not necessarily the example he gave. That's what I'm giving you,
right?
Just think of five games. Let's say you decide you're frustrated with Disgaea 2, right?
Yeah.
What game can you just go to and enjoy? I'm betting that Savariar or whatever that is.
Savariar? That would be one of the desert island games. Absolutely. Yeah. Yes.
All right. See, now for me, Mario 64, top of the heap. It's a winner.
Crap.
No, it's good. I think there's a puzzle game that you could just always pick up. Like, I've been playing a lot of Lumines lately. Tetris Attack would probably be one of them.
Crap.
No, it's not. For a lot of people, I think Bubble Bobble might be one.
Crap.
I listed Uniracers. Have you played that?
Crap.
Do you like any games?
Savariar is pretty good.
All right. Good. I would say Dance Dance Revolution and some sort of music game. And there's a bunch of music games that I like. Guitar Hero, definitely. It's just...
All right. So what's a comfort game?
A game that makes you feel good all the time. Like, Guitar Hero always makes me feel good when I play it. Super Mario 64 always feels good. It's comforting, man.
See, that's... Okay, that sounds like... I mean, all the time? I mean, there are games that you can say make you feel good all the time?
Hey, listen. Let's not get into semantics here.
No, well, that's exactly what it is. This is some kind of, like, weirdo semantic construction you're presenting to me.
I'm saying, one day, someone says, hey, you want to sit down and play some Guitar Hero? You're going to say yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that game.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's not going to be like, no, you know what? That game's too played out. I'm not going to touch that, man.
Well, you know what? I mean, I might say that.
If you've been playing it 5 hours that day, right?
Right.
But for the most part, it would be a comfort game for you. Now, I would argue that most comfort games are ones that are going to be like relatively unending or based on score, not something that's linear and just, you know, you play through it and you're done with it.
You know what? I don't... this concept is, I don't know, this is really disagreeable to me.
Ara's got this look on his face, like, this is just
wrong.
This is like I ate some bad meat.
Yeah, I don't know, this is some kind of, like, this is, like, morally wrong here or something. Okay. I don't know.
I don't care about you, well, right, in this point, because I think it's a good idea.
No, let me explain to you what my problem is, right? I mean, like, you know, any game you play is just on some kind of continuum, right? Depending on what your mood is like, you're going to feel like, you know, I want to play this more often or less often, right? And just depending on, like, what their idiosyncrasies of, you know, your moods are throughout the day, right? I mean, you may or may not like a certain game, and yeah, okay, well, there's some games that you'll want to play more often than others, right? I mean, do we need to categorize them because they cross some kind of threshold? I mean, that's just like, that's just like some kind of weird semantic construct.
All right, so you're just being critical at this point. A game that you can just say,
you know
I'm
right, and you can't see anything.
No, because this is a game. All right, you know what? I want to like this game. I'm going to come back to it, and it's just, it's always fun for me. I can return to it every week.
Comfort games? Like, why do we have to make up a new terminology about this? You know, why don't you just say this is a game I really like? My point is that, like, you know, we're kind of like taking...
That's sort of the problem I had with the article being so discussed.
All right. Well, there you go.
But I still can appreciate the concept of a game that you can always return to. For instance, when one of the first shows that we did, one of the first Chatterbox shows we did, was talking about games that were old enough that they weren't like on the new release shelf, but they were still really good and accessible at the stores. And I was listing off games I can't even remember the names of anymore, they were still good and only cost like $20, right? And so this sort of falls into the comfort game category, where it's like, all right, these are games that are going to be good. No matter when you pick them up, they're going to be good. They're not just good because they're good graphics right now. They're not good because it's some storyline that's relevant in the news right now. It's good just because it is. Like Tetris Attack. You pick up Tetris Attack or any one of the, you know, games that basically copies it, and it itself was a copy of Panel de Pan, right? But you pick that up, it's going to be fun. Right, any Mario game to me is going to be fun. Guitar Hero, any iteration of it, any DDR version, it's going to be fun. And there's a lot of games, like, you can, right now, just look at all the greatest hits on PS2. Most of them, good times.
You know what? I'm going to spend the next week thinking of, you know, definitions for things that we already have adequate definitions for, so we can have some, you know, more excessive terminology.
Right, everybody go read 1984 before next week, so we can all, you know, complain about Ara. We'll be back next week, everybody. Thanks for listening. Go to chatterboxgameshow.com if you want to learn more about the show. We'll be back.
You've been listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. Tune in next week for more tips and info and the latest and greatest in video gaming. And remember, all your bases are belong to us.